Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
Oh, hey, Brian Koberger's parents and family are not going to get VIP seating, it appears, at his upcoming trial. Prosecutors in Idaho aren't pulling any punches in this. His family won't be there in the front row of the trial. In a sharp court filing, Deputy Lehigh County Prosecutor Ashley Jennings made it clear if the defendant's relatives are potentially going to testify, they'll need to sit outside the courtroom until that moment comes. No exceptions. That is how that works. You can't be in there if you're going to be testifying either way. If you're just going to be there for support, okay. Jennings told the judge that while the state may call members of the Koberger family to testify, their potential witness status means they can't sit in on others' testimony beforehand. This is a standard trial procedure. Witnesses are usually excluded until after they've taken the stand, so their own words aren't influenced by what others say. It is courtroom 101. But Koberger's defense doesn't see it that way. His attorney submitted a request asking that his family be given the same priority seating as the victims' families. Yeah, because that sounds about right. Look, I feel horrible for the Koberger family. I think they had a bad egg, and it seems like the rest of them kind of have their shit together for the most part. But, you know, you got something broken there in Brian, and I think they were probably, I don't want to say just as shocked. I would guess if that's your kid or your brother, you might be going, yeah, I'm not surprised. But now the hell that they have to go through because of that person's decision-making process is hell, and you had nothing to do with it. So I really have a lot of empathy and sympathy for them too, because they're victims in another sense of this. But I do get it. You can't be sitting in the courtroom, and that's just not how that works.
Tony, it's really hard. My brother is a drug trafficker and money launderer felon. The DEA used a battering ram to break into his house.
Mm-hmm.
This was probably 10, 15 years ago. And this was in a very small town. Mm-hmm. And I don't live there. I moved with my mom when I was 6 years old to Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
But my two brothers remained back with my dad in this small town in one of the Dakotas. And so my one brother is very law-abiding citizen, mm-hmm. but has the same last name as the brother who was splashed all over the headlines.
Sure.
It is really hard to have that name that's notorious with some shit.
Yeah.
And I don't think my brother's ever killed anybody, but he did some shit that was a big deal. And especially in a small town.
Yeah.
Well, it sucks.
I don't know enough about the Murdaugh family, but I'm imagining that it's not an easy thing to have that name at that area of the country right now. And I'd imagine it hurt business a little bit. And a lot of people there are fairly respected as far as I'm aware. I know maybe some are not, but, you know, it was a very respected name and a very respected family. And to have your lone brother go out and do something this insane, it takes the ship down, even if you had nothing to do with it whatsoever.
you know, ordering a pizza, or you're sitting in the waiting room at the doctor's office and, you know, usually they just use a first name, but, you know, you see the file pop up or where, you know, wherever you are and you use your name or you have to say your name out loud, people will turn and look at you. And it's just a very awkward thing. I mean, Koberger, that's a very rare sounding name. I had never heard of a Koberger until this case. So anything that they do, any job that they have, everybody perks up when they hear the name.
I mean, they certainly do. They're arguing that excluding the relatives would violate Koberger's Sixth Amendment right to a public trial, and the state wasn't having it. Jennings responded that the Sixth Amendment guarantees that the defendant get a public trial, not the right to pick the audience. And when it comes to courtroom rights, the Idaho Constitution specifically gives the families of homicide victims the ability to be present at trial. Koberger's family, they don't get the same legal status. Jennings pointed out that the law doesn't give the accused family the same courtroom privileges as the victim's next of kin. It's not personal, it's statutory. The compliance matter, to complicate matters further in this, there's some history here. Back in December of 22, Brian Koberger and his father were pulled over twice while driving across Indiana during their trip home to Pennsylvania. Remember that? Not long after the murders is when all that took place, and that kind of detail might come up in court, potentially putting his father on the witness list. I imagine he will be. I imagine it's going to be a lot of questions about what was going on in that car ride, what was he talking about, what was happening. Because parents, brothers, sisters, they're not protected by like the spousal privilege where you don't have to testify against your spouse. Your family can. Your family doesn't have a choice, actually, if they get called up there. And by extension here, on the bench outside of the courtroom is where they'll probably have to be sitting if they're going to be on that list. Meanwhile, Koberger's sister, Amanda Koberger, has already been seen making court appearances of her own, including being spotted exiting a Pennsylvania courthouse early in the investigation. Whether she ends up on the witness list remains to be seen, but the prosecution isn't ruling anything out. Is that the sister? I don't know. I think he has more than one sister, doesn't he? I could be wrong.
I think he does. And wasn't there one that she lost her job right after he was arrested?
There was that. But there's another one where he stole her cell phone earlier in life, and then the family turned him into the police.
Oh, I missed that part of the story.
Yeah, because it was when he was all drugged out, he stole her cell phone, and then like they turned him in. And it wasn't like a, let's get together and work this out. They knew that this guy needed a lashing, if you will, by being locked up for a day or two, maybe to do the old, Maury scared straight thing.
Yeah. So we have Amanda and Melissa Koberger. Story about a year ago from the Independent. Brian Koberger's sister searched his car for evidence before police swooped in, thinking he might be connected to the Idaho College murders. So, yeah, it sounds like they suspect something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and judging from Howard Blum's book too, the conversations about the conversations with the family that Howard reported a lot on, I mean, it doesn't sound good. It sounds like the family kind of knows that this guy's very likely the person who did this. That's my conjecture out of what I've read. You know, obviously he's innocent until proven guilty.
If they think that he could have had something to do with this.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing, as hard as it is to come forward and say, here's what I think and what I believe based on my knowledge of him.
A lot of families wouldn't do that though. That's the thing. A lot of families would be like, oh, if I know this, I'm going to keep it really. Even if my child I knew did something this horrific, of course, I'm not going to sit there and like hide people deserve justice. It doesn't matter if it's your family member or not. There's something seriously wrong with your family member, and there's no reason to try and save them. They've already lost. They've already been lost if they've, and they're gone too far. if they've done something like this. And another filing twist, the defense requested the judge ban anyone in the courtroom from wearing clothing that features the victims' faces. They didn't argue against the victims' families attending, but they took aim at what they wear, specifically calling out what they said were prejudicial displays possibly directed at the Gonzalez family. So they're saying that they don't want them to wear shirts that portray their children's their dead children's faces on them. And also anything, I believe there's another stipulation in there too, involving anything that shows like Koberger or like with a, you know, a scope sight on him. There was a couple things that were, that is like, we don't want this in there. I get it.
That's fair.
I'd still wear it if I was a family member. Their thing is because they don't want that to influence the jury. And you know what? I think this case is going to sink him on his own. You probably don't need to add more fuel to the fire, I would think. Koberger, who is now 30, was that PhD student in criminology at Washington State University when prosecutors said he drove across state lines to Moscow, Idaho. There, according to investigators, he entered the off-campus home around 4 a.m. and stabbed four University of Idaho students to death. Madison Mogan, Kaylee Gonzalez, Zaina Kernoodle, and Ethan Chapin. Two of the victims were allegedly asleep or otherwise incapacitated during the initial attack, making it unlikely that they had any chance to react. Investigators have then, of course, found the K-bar knife sheath under Madison Mogan's body. DNA allegedly matching Koberger's was recovered from the snap of the sheath. Prosecutors also say his phone data surveillance puts him near the crime scene. They even claim he was captured on his own selfie camera around 10:31 a.m., just 6 hours after the murders took place. And again, if true, if that is accurate, that he did this, that is going to be the selfie that puts him to death.
Yeah, if
you're on that jury and that's what you are seeing, because this would be using the death penalty phase, because with this death penalty trial, you have the trial to determine innocence or guilt. Then you have like basically a second trial that goes on to determine if you kill him or not. It's not just a, hey, everybody think he should die? No, it's a, okay, we need witnesses. We need evidence. We need to show just what a monster this person is now that we've determined they did it. And this... That, I was pointing at you. This, that, no, that, that, this, that way. Yeah, I'm not good.
The other way.
The reverse thing. That's not going to work out well. That's not going to work out well at all.
The happiest I've seen him.
It is.
And then he looks like he just got a date with his dream girl, you know? Like she just finally said yes. He's been chasing her for 40 years. And she just said, yes, fine, I'll go out with you. That's what that looks like.
And she also happens to be a vampire, too. You know? It's creepy. I mean, I put a video out on the channel, if you have not seen it yet, or on the podcast, too. And it's comparing him and to all of these other characters, to American Psycho, to Psycho, tying in the Papa Roger account from early on, and really taking a deep look at how, if it's him, seemed to really get a lot of joy out of taunting people and really seemed to get a lot of joy out of being, thinking he was the smartest person in the room right after all this went down. It's really chilling when you kind of connect some of those dots, and it's just, you know, it's speculation, and we don't do a ton of speculation on that stuff, but I'm sorry, that picture in the shower, there's more meaning to it than just, you know, I'm clean. I'm zestfully clean.
Yeah.
You know, you're not fully clean unless you're zestfully clean. I don't think there's any way that Koberger is ever going to be, you know, clean again. So what they're claiming with the defense of Koberger is that the vehicle information, the tracking data that was, I think, more on his phone. Is it accurate? And the guy that's going to do that, and I've heard many arguments online about this, he's got a company. He's practices as an expert witness, has been doing it for quite some time. Did have a bit of a hiccup not that long ago in a Colorado court where the judge said, no, you cannot be an expert witness based on the technology that he was using to place things around and really kind of show a geographic look to the jury of, you know, how a geographic situation would have played out. So in this case, it would be showing him on the path that he believes his car took, not the path that the state is saying it did and the FBI is saying it did and the people who made the tracking software saying it did. He thinks he has something better. Maybe he does. But a judge recently looked into that and said, no, you don't. And you're not going to be able to use that in this courtroom. Every judge is different, though. So we'll have to see how that's interpreted in this. But it feels like that guy is really kind of his last hope, if you will, at this moment in time. I'm sure there's more time to schedule an expert witness or find an expert witness, but they got their eggs in a basket. And even if he's able to testify and go out there and say, hey, I, according to my data, according to my interpretation of the data, he wasn't there. He was down here. Okay, so that pulls one of the Jenga blocks out of the tower. Does it tumble the tower? Is that one Jenga block going to, you know, destroy the whole thing? Or is that just going to be like one of those just kind of comes out? You're like, okay, we're good. Because the tower is big and the tower has a lot in it with a lot of bad things against Koberger. And if your data says he didn't do it, then how do you explain everything else? How do you explain the DNA? How do you explain the car? How do you explain
Amazon?
How do you explain Dick's Sporting Goods? How do you explain all of those things? All just one giant coincidence? The easy thing that a lot of people simply say online is, it's a conspiracy. He's set up. Is it? Not everything is a conspiracy.
No.
There are cases that legitimately do have conspiratorial things going on in them. Delphi, Indiana would be one of them. It's not this one. I think people are sometimes so eager to say something's a conspiracy and to get onto that wagon. It doesn't. The facts elude them. And there's reason many times to take a look at that. I don't see it here. I don't see it. And I have looked at the alternatives. I have looked when people say, look at this, look at that. I just did a piece on him today too. And yeah, doesn't look like he has a great record of holding up if this is the technology he's going to be using. And if he isn't using it and using something different, then great. Let's hear him out. Hear what he has to say. Except for the judge to decide if he can be an expert witness. That's why judges have to check that out. So, Koberger has pled not guilty to 4 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of burglary. His trial is scheduled to begin on August 11th in Boise after a judge granted the change of venue. And if convicted, he faces the possibility of a firing squad or whoever they want to kill somebody that day in Idaho, because apparently it takes a lot of work to get something in a vial to kill somebody. This is somehow rocket science in our country. Don't quite know why that part is, but can't you just like feed him Drano or something? there's a lot of things that can kill you pretty quickly, and I don't know why it's such a bridge too far in our prison system to come up with the drug that actually works.
We have a drug. We have drugs that work on animals that we use every day.
Can we use them on people?
They could be.
And like a higher dosage?
If you sedate the person first. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would work. A lot of veterinarians, there's a sad thing going on in the veterinary field that veterinarians and vet techs kill themselves. Compassion fatigue. They're absolutely burned out. They feel they have no alternative. The reason it's so high in that field is because they have access to life-ending drugs.
Yeah.
So it would just need approval from the FDA to use in humans, or the DEA maybe, not the FDA. Well, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, one of the agencies would have to approve it for human use. You're going to kill this person. I don't understand. If you're doing it humanely, maybe sedate them first.
Sure.
And then inject that drug. Same way we do it with animals. I don't understand why you couldn't do it. I'd rather do that. If that's how this case goes,
yeah.
I'd rather have him euthanized than in front of a firing squad.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the firing squad, the way they do it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, where they shoot you in the heart. Like, you're going to be conscious for a little bit there. That seems to be a little cruel and unusual, where it's not like they hit your heart and then your brain goes. No, you're going to bleed out and you're going to realize that you're dying. Why not go for the head? I mean, why go straight for the brain? Or have two. Have one of Elon's robots do it, if it's the argument of, you know, people don't want to do it. But I guess somebody would have to press the button to turn the robot on. And
right. Anyway,
but
I still don't like the trauma for the person who is actually, and I know they have several different people and nobody knows who actually fired the shot that kills the person. And that's by design. They don't want somebody to have that guilt on them. So it's like one of five or one of six people. But still, I think having that knowledge that you killed somebody, that's a lot. I mean, we see what it does to our soldiers, you know?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, it certainly would. But I think you could also probably sell lottery tickets and get enough people to sign up and make a profit of people who would want to sign up to do that. And if you're choosing to do it, which, again, if that's your job and you know that that's part of the requirements, should it come up, you're choosing to do that. If you don't want to do that, you know? It is, but it's not like I think they got the job and said, and oh, by the way, on this weekend, we're going to need you to shoot somebody. You know, it's like, okay, if this happens, this will be part of the job. And that moment, that person has the opportunity to say yes or no, I will take this position. So I don't worry about that all too much in that sort of position. It shouldn't be like, hey, it's like jury duty. You get a notice like, hey, they might pick you to shoot somebody this week. And you're just like, you have no choice about it. But
yeah.
Well, there you go. That's going to continue to be interesting as more and more continues to come out in the case. There's been a lot of document dumps, and I'm sure there's many more to come.
Want to stay on top of the latest true crime cases? Press subscribe now and never miss a breaking update from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. You just made it through an episode of Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Congrats on surviving the ads. Want to skip them completely next time?
What is that?
Join the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel on Apple Podcasts. Ad-free episodes, exclusive early access, and no interruptions. Just pure crime storytelling. Try it free for 3 days. Don't wait.
Bitchin' stuff, dude.
Hit subscribe now on Apple Podcasts and get ahead of the mystery.
Know what I'm saying?
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm gonna be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.